Amen. What a beautiful way to enter worship. Friends, good morning.
Morning.
Let's try that one more time. There's more of you here than that. Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to worship. In your bulletin, you will find this yellow sheet. This summer here at First Congregational Church, we are learning some new songs. Songs to become a bigger part of our repertoire to add to our hymnal in the fall. And so some of these songs may be familiar and some not so much. So this week, we're going to spend a little time with the song we tried last week so that we can get it right and so that we can learn it. So I'm going to direct your attention to Enter, Rejoice, and Come In, and Evan, our minister of music, is going to help us learn this song. You may stay seated for now.
Just quickly, I want to go over just each line so we're a little more familiar than we were last week. So just repeat after me. Here's how it goes. Enter, rejoice, and come in.
In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, here and now, among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven. In the future, when we have turned to dust, when all we know has found its fulfillment, not denying the world, but delighting in it, not condemning the world, but redeeming it.
God was, God is, and God will be. Friends, please be seated. We come now in our service to a time of confession. I have to be honest, I have heard as a pastor people say to me that when I invite people into confession, they're not so excited. They look at confession kind of like a root canal, something that may be necessary, but something you want to avoid at all costs. But here's what I think. Confession is actually a gift. Confession is a gift from God who asks us to take all of our burdens and shortcomings, all of our sins and things we carry around with us and give them over to God, to acknowledge them and let them go that we might be closer in relationship to God and just as importantly with one another. And so this morning, I invite you to see this time of confession as a gift. A chance to take all of the burdens we carry and leave them behind. Here's how we're going to do it this morning. We're going to sing our way into a time of silent confession. The words that should be familiar to you are printed in your bulletin. Really listen to these words as you sing them. Trust these words. Let them help you open your hearts and your minds to God. Let us sing our way into confession. Sisters and brothers, I have some good news for you. It is so good of news that you dare not get it sitting down. So I ask you to please rise to your feet so you can hear this good news. Friends, hear these words from God through the prophet Isaiah. I formed you, God says. You are my servants. You will not be forgotten by me. I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, God says, for I have redeemed you. Friends, let us sing that of that joyful news. Friends, since God has forgiven us in Christ, let us therefore forgive one another. Let us do so by passing the peace far and wide. The peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with each other. Good morning. Peace. I don't know if we are today. Okay, that is true. Good morning. Good morning, Terry. Michelle, good morning. Good morning. Good. Hi. Give me your name. Beth?
Joe.
Peace be with you. Well, welcome. Peace, Deb and David. Beth and Joe, if you haven't met, this is Deb and David. Maybe what's after? They're coming right now. Friends, as light comes into our worship this morning, I say good morning once again. Well, thank you. I want to welcome you here to the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and we want you to know something. We want you to know that you are absolutely, completely, 100%, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, no small print, no disclaimers. You are completely welcome here just as you are and wherever you are on life's journey. Friends, you are welcome here if you are riding high or if you are a bit in the dumps, because the God we are here to worship says this. It says she is going to lift us up on eagle's wings. Friends, you are welcome here if you know exactly where you are going or if you are wandering and a bit lost. For Jesus, the one we meet in this place, tells us that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And friends, you are welcome here if you are lively and energetic, or if you might be a bit worn out. Because our brother Paul reminds us that when we gather here, we live in the Spirit, and there we will find life and strength and peace. So know this, whoever you are, and wherever you are on life's journey, you are 100% completely, totally, without a doubt, welcome here. I would invite anyone who has an announcement regarding the life of the church to come forward to make it from this microphone. As you may be doing that, I want to invite our guests to notice this card. There should be one of them in every single pew. If you wouldn't mind, take it out, fill it out, put it in the offering plate. That way we can greet you further once worship is over. I want to extend an especial welcome to Jae Yeon Yoo. She is the amazing young woman who provided the beautiful prelude for us this morning. Thank you. Here's something you need to know about her. She just graduated from Hawthorne Valley School, so congratulations on that. She is going to spend a year before she goes to college in Bowdoin, and here's what she's going to do with her year. She's going to go to Ireland, and there she's going to live in a community caring for adults with special needs. That's what she's going to do for her next year. Jae, thank you so much for being with us and providing that glorious prelude for our service. Cindy.
The Growth and Fellowship Committee has two events of fun and fellowship for you. One is today, right after worship, we're having our annual Strawberry Social out on the church front lawn. So we hope that you'll all join us there. And then this Thursday is the first of our Movie and Pizza Night series for the summer. So this Thursday, we're watching Godspell, and that's at 6:30 in the Jonathan Edwards room. You're all welcome. There are sign-up sheets, both outside and in the Jonathan Edwards room. And if you're planning on coming, please sign up just so I know how much pizza to make, and hope to see you there. Thanks.
Any other announcements this morning?
Hi, so this is really an announcement of the larger church community. Last week, two people asked me about the Star Island Conference Center, which reminded me that it was time for my annual announcement about Star Island. For those of you who don't know, it's a beautiful historic retreat center, 7 miles off the coast of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And it is it holds religious conferences for the UCC and Unitarian congregations. It is a fun place. It is for families, personal retreaters, older folks, young folks. I wanted to have my kids up here to explain what they like best about it, so I will just speak on their behalf. For Madeline, it is the snack bar, so there is a place where you can get treats, but Hannah likes to hop around on the rocks. And this year, I'm actually doing my own conference there on mindful health in September, and there's a poster in the Jonathan Edwards room. If anybody wants more information, you can go to starisland.org or feel free to ask me. Thanks.
This is a place of deep faith and great activity, and we invite you to engage yourself in all parts of our life together. I now invite you to join one another in something we do best together, and that is praying. Here in this church, we lift up prayer concerns and our prayers out loud, partly so that we can pray them here in this room, but also that you might hear a prayer that you take with you and that you might pray in the days to come. Here's how the prayer is going to work this morning. We will together, there's a liturgy in your bulletin, we will enter into prayer. I will then lead us for a brief time, and then I will open it up for you to add any prayer concern, a joy in your life, or a burden you carry. And after a person says that, I will say, God, in your mercy, and you will say, hear our prayer. Before we go there, there are a few prayer concerns that I would like to bring to your attention on behalf of this community. I continue to spend time with Pam Torres. As many of you might know, she is entering her final days with us here. She is at home in hospice care. Her brother and her two kids are around her. They have found a way to make it so that she is not in so much pain. We've been having great conversations together, and they have been cherishing every moment. And let me tell you this, Pam was beside herself when I visited her yesterday about the amazing outpouring of food that has come from this congregation. There has been pasta and rice and desserts, of course desserts, and wine and cheese and snacks and meals for days and days and days. And Pam says that she would love to be here and tell you herself how deeply moved she is. But trust me, from her eyes, she is deeply moved. So thank you all for that. I also want to welcome this morning Katha with us here today. Katha is Mita Ukuna's oldest daughter. As you might know, Mita took a fall and broke her hip a week ago. Things were not looking good for a while. But in the last couple days, Mita is getting stronger. Her wit, those of you who know Mita, her wit and her bite is back to her. She is now having conversations and doing things. She is at Sunrise or Sunset, the Kibble Farms Nursing Care Center on Sunset Road. Family is all here, and Mita is getting better and getting stronger with each passing day. So, Katha, welcome, and we keep our prayers with Mita as well. Aliva, I need to tell you, Henderson is also very much on the mend. She continues to think very much about her beloved Bob and misses him, but she is getting stronger every day and spent some time with her yesterday too and is looking and feeling much better. So friends, let us enter now into a time of prayer. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us pray. God of all life and light, God of new beginnings and second chances, God of our ancestors' ancestors and of our children's children, we come before you this morning, God, just as we are. We come before you, God, in the midst of the life that you have given us, with all of its joys and sorrows, with all of its pain and all of its healing. God, we come before you this morning as one body, as one people, sharing the joys and the burdens that are on our minds. We share them out loud before you now. God, in your mercy. 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 This morning, God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for warm, humid days and cool strawberries. God, we give you thanks today for siblings. Today, especially, we do remember Larry. We remember him and ask you to take him into your loving arms. God, be with Jack and Cindy and the whole family as they mourn that loss. God, we also today do lift up for you, Norm, as he continues to have medical tests and continues to seek doctor's wisdom. God, we ask you to grant him peace and strength and courage and patience for the road that you have placed before him. God, we are your people. And for these prayers and all other prayers that remain on our hearts or on the tips of our tongues or hanging there in the air before us, we trust them to you, giving them over in the name of our brother, our mentor, our teacher, our friend, our companion, the one through whom anything is truly possible, the one we know as Jesus. And let the whole church say, Amen.
Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved to pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to the innkeeper, Take care of him. When I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The lawyer said, The one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. May God add a blessing of hearing and understanding to these words.
Brothers and sisters, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. A man was going from Jerusalem, David's city of peace set high up on a hill, to Jericho, a place as low as you can go, located along the edge of the Dead Sea. It was a journey of about 20 miles through the wilderness. Now, there is something you need to know about that road. Something that the young lawyer Jesus was speaking with on that day certainly would have known. And that is this. That road, it was a dangerous road. It was a road with all kinds of trouble waiting for you on it. A road never, ever to travel alone. We don't know why this particular man chose to take that dangerous road and to do so alone. But I'm sure he had good reason. We do know this, though, that along the way on that road, he was beset by robbers. He was brutally beaten. He was stripped of everything, not just his clothes, but his sense of security, his sense of self, his sense of normalcy. The man, Jesus says, was left half dead along the road, probably grateful at some level to still be alive. But left alone and left in limbo. I've always found it fascinating that when we look at this famous parable of Jesus's, we focus on everyone in the story, except for that man along the side of the road. We spend a lot of time thinking about and talking about this lawyer and just what he's after. We spend a ton of time thinking about that priest and Levite, holy men, who choose to walk across the road and avoid him. We spend a ton of time talking about the Samaritan, the one who actually stops. But we spend very, very little time, you and I, actually talking about or thinking about that man who is there beside the side of the road, half dead. How did the man experience this ordeal? And what happened to him once his physical wounds were healed, once he left that innkeeper's care but still had to go on with his life? Friends, what do you think was going through his mind as he saw a priest, a holy man, approaching him through his half-swollen, half-shut eyes? Did he get his hopes up? And what do you think he was possibly thinking when that holy man of God crossed the street and hurried away, head down, eyes averted, scurrying away? Do you think that man tried to cry out, even though his lips were as swollen as his eyes, even though ribs were puncturing his lungs? Do you think he tried to cry out and say, "Here I am"? And what do you think he might have thought when he realized that priest, he wasn't coming back? Wonder if he started to give up just a little. And then another man of faith, a Levite, came along. Now, Levites, if you're not quite familiar, they were part of a group who had been entrusted with the care of the temple and holy things since ages past. Do you think that man got his hopes up a little when he saw a Levite coming his way? And when the Levite, just like the priest before him, ducked and ran for the other side of the road, can't you see that man desperately trying to get his attention, maybe trying to lift his broken arm up in the air, daring to hope, and probably questioning everything he knew? We don't know how much longer the man suffered there along the road, how long he suffered both from his wounds and from his seeming invisibility. But we do know this. It must have, to the man, seemed like a joke. The priest and the Levite passed by, and suddenly here comes a Samaritan, the enemy sort of the Israel people. He came strolling around, and I wonder if the man laying there gave the Samaritan a second thought or even a second glance. How shocked he must have been when that Samaritan, with compassion deep in his eyes, came to him and gave to him wine and bandages and eased his pain. He put him on the back of his own animal. I think more than the easing of his wounds, the Samaritan gave himself. I think he looked into that man's eyes. And I think he made a connection there with the man beside the way of the road. Those wounds from his beating, I'm sure, were still throbbing, but the emptiness and isolation were beginning to go away. And notice that even when life called that Samaritan to continue on with whatever his business was, he refused to leave that man alone. He found an innkeeper, and he left that innkeeper with strict instructions. He said, "Don't leave him alone. Care for him. Be with him, sit and chat, hear his stories, change his bandages, tend to all of his wounds, especially the ones you can't see, because this man, he has traveled a dangerous road, and he has lived to tell about it." Catherine Robinson chose to walk a dangerous road through the wilderness. Catherine Robinson chose to join the Army National Guard, and in 2007, Catherine Robinson was deployed to Iraq as a videographer. She says that she chose to walk that dangerous road to do whatever she could to help this nation. And there, during an intense firefight, a sniper shot off one of her fingers. She will tell you that she can still replay that moment over and over in her mind. She will tell you that she can still feel the heat on that finger from where the bullet passed through. When she got back home, she granted an interview to the New York Times. She invited them to her home, and there in her living room, a living room painted with beautiful light blue walls, you know, that beautiful sky blue. In a living room, she sat on an overstuffed couch, and along one wall was this huge bookcase. On the other side of the wall were pictures. You could see a framed medal. You could see a letter that looked like it came from the office of the President of the United States hanging on that wall. And she sat on her couch with her dog nestled by her side, and she described her life as being in limbo. She said that things that never used to bother her are now intolerable. Little noises and little sounds grate on her nerves to the point that she sometimes has to wear earplugs in her own house. She has tried. She jokingly says that she has tried every kind of therapy you can imagine. She rattles them off. She has tried drawing therapy, horse therapy, dance therapy, travel therapy, acupuncture, psychotherapy. She's tried them all, she says. And yet she's still in limbo. What she says she does is she escapes into isolation, secluding herself from all but her dog. She acknowledges that it solves a ton of her problems, but it creates others. She now finds that she doesn't feel like she belongs. She doesn't feel like she has a connection or a purpose. At times, it has gotten so bad that she has thought about taking her own life. But more often, she says she is grateful to be alive, even if she is stuck in limbo there on the side of the road. She's not alone. Edward Pesetto, a veteran from Pittsfield, he chose to walk a dangerous road in Afghanistan. He wrote that he was proud that he had the courage to take that walk, proud to serve his country in the Marines for 7 years. He was the kind of guy that while serving, he came upon a helicopter engulfed in flames, not quite exploded, but engulfed in flames. And instead of running away, Edward is the kind of guy who ran toward that helicopter. He managed to pull two people out and to safety before the helicopter exploded. Medically discharged. He came home, and Edward did what he was supposed to do. He filed for disability benefits with the VA, asking no more than to be cared for and remembered. He tried to re-engage the Berkshire County community he left to serve, and in his own words, and I quote, he found himself in limbo. He sent the paperwork and waited 730 days for his benefits to be processed, and they never were. Perhaps even more troubling, though, he wrote that when he came home, quote, no one noticed. He lay on the side of the road, calling out through swollen and bruised lips. He waved his broken arm for people to see, and he watched as the government crossed to the other side of the road. He watched as the good people of Pittsfield did too. We don't fully know what was going on in Leon's mind. But we do know that in May, he chose to take his own life. He took it on Monument Mountain rather than stay in limbo in Pittsfield. Last year, more active men and women serving in our armed forces chose to take their own lives than died combined in combat in Afghanistan. For veterans, that number is scarier. According to the VA, some 22 veterans take their life every single day. And for those like Catherine who decide to keep on living in limbo, far too often they find themselves alone, sometimes by choice, but more often by neglect. And before we think that we would do so much better as this extravagant, welcoming church, even though I think we would, there's another number you need to know. Of those who actively belonged to a church when they left for active duty, less than 25% of them, less than a quarter of them, felt comfortable enough to go back to their church when they got home. We pray for those leaving. We pray for those in the midst of war. Do we do all we can when they come back? One of the resolutions we passed at General Synod, the conference I was at 2 weeks ago in California, says that we as a church must not cross the road to avoid our veterans. We instead must be the Samaritan and welcome them home. This resolution called for more than our money or supplies. It called for us to give of ourselves, to look veterans in the eye, to listen to their stories, and by our presence, more than by our words or money, remind them that they are not alone, that they are not invisible. The resolution that General Synod passed calls on all congregations, this one and all others, to serve veterans with healing care, to be moved by compassion like that Samaritan, and to welcome our veterans home, restore their place in our communities, to serve the needs of their families, to bring peace to our world. We are called to help them. And by doing so, this resolution says we are also called to help ourselves to learn from their wisdom, to learn from their stories, to become better people from their journeys. In our tradition, friends, we are called to take seriously and prayerfully this resolution from General Synod. We're not bound to do a thing. We're a congregational church. But we are bound to take it seriously and pray about it and think about what God might be calling for us to do. And just like Jesus calls the priest and Levite to task in this story, I have no doubt that part of our response can and should be calling to account those who are failing the veterans who return home, the government agencies who I have to believe are honestly trying their best but are woefully underfunded, local communities who make people like Edward Pesetto feel invisible, churches who talk a good game and then sit back, and perhaps most of all, our national mindset that I personally believe makes war all too ready an option without thinking about the consequences. A nation that practices war too often as a first option rather than a last and lamentable option. And then we are called to shift our attention to the one who is rarely talked about in this Good Samaritan story, the man on the side of the dangerous road. The one with physical and emotional injuries, the one who has been robbed of his belongings and his self, the one who is ignored, silenced, and put into limbo. Catherine Robinson, the National Guard videographer who lives her life in limbo, said this at the end of her interview. "I don't want who I am now to be the end of my story. I don't want who I am now to be the end of my story." Friends, I don't have the answers to how we help our veterans, but I know that we are called to help them, both by our denomination and by our still speaking God, and I know that a good way to start is to pray for God's guidance. In the letter he left behind, Edward Pesetto said this. He said that there are hundreds of veterans just like him here in beautiful Berkshire County in the waiting game, waiting for benefits, and waiting for someone, anyone, just to notice. Friends, we need to cross the road. We need to cross the county, not to avoid our veterans, but to find them, to bind their wounds, and to learn from them. If we do this, our veterans who have walked a dangerous road on our behalf, they will live. If we do this, limbo will not be the end of their story. But just as importantly, if we look at this passage, you will see Jesus say, "Do this and you too will live. Do this and you will live more fully and deeply." Friends, servicemen and women chose to walk a dangerous road. The question before us this day is, what does God call us to do when we find them beside the road? Amen. Friends, Jesus asks, or the lawyer asks, who is your neighbor? Let us sing about that. Our hymn is on the back of your green insert, actually. It's a little bit trickier, so it has the music there for you. Let us rise as you are able, and let us sing.
Thank you. Jesus made clear in the story you told. It's anyone who has a need. Yes, anyone who has a need.
Friends, please be seated. Friends, God has entrusted us with all that we have, and God has asked us to be good stewards. God has asked us to give back, to care for the lonely and the outcast, to give to ministries of grace and healing, and that is what we do every Sunday when we take an offering. We give to our neighbors in need. This morning, once again, our offering will be given and gratefully received. Holy and loving God, take and bless these gifts. Bless them that they may go out from this place as miracles of hope and life and healing. God bless all who have gathered here today, that we might likewise go out transformed and beacons of your holy love. We ask all of this in the name of the Prince of Peace, the one we know as Jesus. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, you may be seated. Friends, I have invited you to do many things today. To confess, to pray, to extend peace, to sing, to listen. And now I invite you to feast. I invite you to come to this table, to gather around this table. And you are welcome here at this table, whoever you are, for this table is not of this church. It is not my table. It is not the deacon's table. It is not this church's table. It is Christ's table. And Christ has set before us an open door. Christ bids all of us to become, to be fed, and to be nourished. So come just as you are. Friends, we remember the story of this table. That it was on the night where Jesus gave himself for us. He gathered his closest friends. He gathered his chosen family. He gathered his disciples around this very table. And while they were sitting there during the meal, he took bread. He gave thanks for that bread. He lifted that bread before them. He blessed that bread, and then he broke it. And he said to his friends, "Take and eat. This is my body that has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We know that in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, the fruit of the vine, and it says that he lifted that cup up before them, and he gave thanks for the cup, and he blessed that cup, and he said to them, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant. It is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of this cup, all of you, and do it in remembrance of me." It is the same story we tell today, to remember to come and be fed. Before we eat of this meal, though, let us bless the elements that are here. I ask you to raise one hand or two hands in a sign, ancient Christian sign of blessing, and imagine all of your love pouring out of those fingertips, dribbling over the heads on the way up here and landing on these elements that they might be blessed. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, I ask you to send your spirit down here in this room. Send it deep into this bread, and may it dive deeply into the cup. Bless all of the food here that through it we may truly encounter the risen Lord. Bless this meal that it may strengthen our bodies and may nourish our souls. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, just in case you're sitting there new to this church and wondering, he can't really be talking about me. Surely I am not welcome at this table. There's something else you need to know about that story. Remember that around that table that night was one who was going to betray Jesus. Around that table on that night was someone who was going to deny Jesus not once, but three times. Around that table was a whole group of people who was going to fall asleep on Jesus in his darkest hour and going to run away from him in his deepest need. Jesus knew it, and he shared the meal with them. Surely he would share the meal with us as well. Couple things you need to know about this meal. One, all of this bread, this roll and all of this bread there is gluten-free and egg-free. What is in this cup is unfermented grape juice. Let there be no barrier between you and this holy meal. Today, we are going to once again serve this by intinction. By intinction is what I tried to say. Intinction is an ancient practice of the church that is still observed in many denominations. Here's how it works. You come forward, you take the piece of bread, and then you take it and you dip it in the cup. And then right there, standing right up here, you eat it and then walk back to your seat. Ushers will release you. We will start from the fronts on the sides and go to the back. We would ask you to go around the back, come up the middle, and then return by the side aisles. Got it? All right, I would ask our deacons to come forward. And I would ask you, as you remain seated, to notice on the next page these familiar words to taste and see. Evan will sing the verses for you, and you are invited to join in the refrain. Come now, for all is ready. You need to stand against there so people can get past. This is the bread of life. This is the bread of life.
Life.
This is the bread of life.
The bread of life. is the bread of life. Joanne, this is the bread of life. This is the bread of life. This is the bread of life. Elaine, this is the bread of life. Santa, my dear, this is the bread of life. Ronnie, the bread of life. Bread of life. This is the bread of life. The bread of life. Bread of life. This is the bread of life. David, the bread of life. Joyce, this is the bread of life. The bread of life. Michelle, the bread of life. This is the bread of life. I am. This is the bread of life. And it's for you. Perfect. We'll be on our way. Thank you. We go by the outside. This is the bread of life, the cup of salvation. Sneak in behind you. And this is the bread of life. Take another one. Let's take another one. You can take another one. Is there anyone else who is still hungry and has not yet been fed? Because we will come to you. All right. Have you been served? Here. This is the bread of life. I've got it in the cup of salvation. Go ahead. Thank you. salvation. Friends, my grandfather always taught me that it is great to pray before a meal, and it is just as good to pray in thanksgiving after a meal. And so I invite you to lift your voices in the prayer of thanksgiving. It is the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory." Now I invite you to take everything in your hands and put it aside. I invite you to stand up for our closing song. Trust me, you will need nothing for it. Stand up. There is one word you need to know, and that is a great word to close any worship, and that word is amen. Now, Evan's going to play it through, and I think once he does, you're going to be able to pick up the song. Amen. 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 That our worship of God might again begin anew beyond these walls. Before you go your separate ways, and before I give you a blessing, a couple of quick invitations. If you were here each and every Sunday, you would know that I invite you to go through those doors after worship. Not today. Do not go through those doors at the end of worship. Today, there are tables outside, there are strawberries and shortcake waiting to be eaten, and so I invite you to go out that door and to spend time with one another. While you're out there, I also invite you, we have our new bulletin board up for our new members that joined us recently, and so if you have not met them yet, look at their pictures, read their bios. Many of them are here, so go say hello to them. Friends, as you go forth on this day, may the peace of God, which truly surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and keep your minds as one in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And let the people say, Amen.